Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Rod Chalk inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Well, grab your Bibles and turn with me. We're going to go over to Luke chapter 2 this morning, but before we go there, a little preamble for the sermon today. I find it curious, and so let me step into a prophetic role for this. I find it curious this morning that, again, I'd spent time different times during the week trying to get the right sermon, to get the right thing of saying, God, what are you wanting to say? I take it very seriously when I do it. I apply time to it. If it's not going well, I still apply time to it, and because I find it is something that is probably the life's blessing for me, and the privilege that we have to be able to be up here to do this. And as of last night, I couldn't put anything together. And we were just trying and trying and trying. And so I put a few things then. I think it was about 9:30 at night. Got a few things began up there and whatnot, and was expecting to get up this morning and come here. And I got up this morning, and the Lord began to pour something into me for this morning. And I'm a person that likes things to be organized to an extent, especially when I preach. I like to know where I'm going. Yes? That'd be really great, right? And it's just wonderful. And but when I have all these pieces together, I come in the morning, and it's wonderful because I need something fresh. If you're going to share something, to me, it needs to be fresh. I don't like to just read notes. And so I came in this morning, and then we had the morning that we had. And it started with the internet not working, and then it started with the program that you see up there not working, and then the heaters weren't working, and then we had one of our teachers not be able to be here this morning, just a sort of a last-minute thing. And so all of these things began to happen, and therefore, I didn't even get in my office to put all the pieces together. So what I'm saying to you here this morning is just bow your heads a little bit and let's pray, okay? So Father, I'm serious. So Father, we thank you for what you have for us today. They haven't come to hear me. They've come to hear you, Lord. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you step in the middle of things. I find it absolutely wonderful when people come up to me and say, I loved it when you said this, and I never said that at all. But you broke in, Holy Spirit, and you whispered into their ears, and you told them exactly what they needed at that moment. In your name, amen. There is a story before we get to our passage here in the Bible that I think applies to this morning, because I think that we found ourselves a little bit, as Pastor Gary had shared, needing the words to be able, even though we know most of the songs that are there and some of the newer songs, looking for the words and wanting to have the words. And even just the strangeness of these things and set you off. And I find that that so much so in the season that we're in right now, that we have to focus and keep our eyes on Jesus no matter what the storm looks like. No matter what it is, because the truth is, and it reminded me this morning in the midst of this in a little church that we had visited at one time, and it was in Midland, Ontario. If someone could get me a bottle of water, that'd be great. In Midland, Ontario, and where this particular church, they didn't have a whole lot when it came to music. And please don't be offended by this if you love this instrument, but and then the instrument's just got in my head, the one that goes the accordion. Thank you very much. I grew up on that as a kid. And seen that in our church, and that can be a wonderful instrument if it's played quietly, and it played well, okay, and whatnot, and it can be just great. When it's not, not so much. And so this place, the accordion was squeaking and squealing, and the it was just all over the place. And I heard very clearly, there's been a few times in my life where it's almost as if it's an audible voice. Now, I've never heard an audible voice. I'm fascinated with people who have. But it's a strong knowing inside of me that, Rod, you've walked into a test. And he wasn't kidding. You walked into a test. Now worship. And in the midst of all of this, we began to worship the Lord in the midst of, and it was bad. I mean, you're talking bad, trying to focus, trying to sing. I'm not even sure the words that the person was singing in the front was the words that were on the screen. The old, the projection overheads and whatnot. But that day I learned that it has nothing to do with any of that stuff, that I've come to worship Jesus. And when I walked into this building many, many years ago now, practically, I think the first time now is but 19 years ago now, I think the first time we walked in, and I heard somebody talking about the fact of that when we worship, that we're here to minister unto the Lord. And I didn't never heard that word before. I never heard that phrase before. I thought that phrase, when I first heard it, was a little strange. Why does the Lord need ministering to in that way? But as the time went on, and then when I came on staff here and I began to understand that the purpose of worship is not about me. Because how many times have I left a service and said, man, that was awesome worship today. What do I mean really when I say that? Boy, I enjoyed worship today. Right? And there's nothing wrong with us enjoying worship. But in that moment and in that words, to minister unto the Lord was realizing no matter what is going on, I am here to worship you, Lord. And when I think of this story that's in the Bible, and it kind of relates to what's going on right now and in our season, and it certainly relates to the season in my life right now, that there's this story in the Bible where Jesus is walking on the water and the disciples have been out in the boat, and they're not just going out into a little tiny storm. They haven't been out for 5 minutes. It says that they were in the middle of the night by the time Jesus gets out there, and they have been out there rowing for hours and hours and hours, and this storm is up, and we're not talking about they have an unsinkable vessel here. This is not what you would think. If you've ever been in a storm in a boat, I was in a storm with a little 12-foot aluminum boat. You do not want to be in a storm with a 12-foot aluminum boat with a lake that's shallow. Wow, that is scary, okay, in the midst of those things. But I can't imagine for them being out there, and they've just had these amazing encounters with Jesus, and Jesus sent them out into the boat to go across, and he told them he'd meet them there. And in the midst of all of these storms, can you imagine what's going on in their brain? And they start to think about, man, where's Jesus? And it's not the story where he's in the bottom of the boat. It's the one that he's walking then on the water. And they're in the midst of this storm. And I find it just incredible that one of the disciples in there is talking about, thinks that when they see Jesus coming on the water, they say it's a ghost. You see, in the midst of a lot of things, when God's doing something in the midst of a crazy time for us, it may not look like what we want it to look like. We may not even be able to fully recognize even that God is in the middle of something, but we have to trust that even no matter what's going on, that he is working. The songs were displayed this morning and sang this morning that he's working no matter what we can see. And I can see these disciples out there, and all of a sudden Jesus starts walking on the water. I mean, like, think about it for a second. He's walking on the water and he gets close enough, and Peter, you know Peter, he's just gonna do whatever he feels like doing. He's gonna just jump and he's gonna think about it later. That's Peter. Any Peters in the room? Don't put up your hand. Okay, so yeah, there's a few Peters in the room. But Peter in this situation, he's just like, Lord, if this is you, let me get out of the boat. And Jesus says, come on. So I can imagine if I was the other disciples and going, because they didn't sit there and go, hey, look, it's Jesus, okay, in there. They're like thinking it's a ghost. What's going on? We're still possibly sinking. The storm didn't settle. The storm was raging at that moment. And yet Jesus is out there walking on the water and he says, come. And Peter gets out of the boat. He gets out of the place of safety to go to Jesus. See, we sometimes think that we gotta huddle down in the midst of storms in what we're used to or what we find safety is. And when Jesus is saying, come on, get out on the water with me. Let's do this differently. Let's do this in a way that you've never done this before. And I've got all these fingers pointing back to me right now because I find that these last few years have been a war with fear. Anybody there? Anybody had those experiences? And I look at this and go, mighty man of God, what are you doing? Why are you paralyzed in fear? Come on.
And in those moments, you start to then, if you're not careful, you can become consumed and you want to hide and you want to find just a quiet place where nothing can bug me. Nothing. I don't have to deal with anything. And you don't have to sit there and really, I don't want to really face this. And yet we know that God is with us. But in those moments, what is we right now and in this season, we are called to get out of that hiding. You think about Elijah and Elisha and a lot of these other prophets that they went through, and we know that they find one of them hiding in a cave at one time, and it all doesn't make any sense really when we're reading it, but we see that fear can viciously come upon us. You know, you can be sitting there and everything can be fine. Have you ever had this happen to you? And all of a sudden, bam, you don't even know what you're afraid of. You don't even know what it is. And if you've ever dealt with panic attacks, and again, these things are not something that usually you hear people talk about in church, but if you've ever dealt with that, they make no sense. Not a lick of sense. When I was going through panic attacks years and years ago now, someone would say to me, "What are you afraid of?" I'm not afraid of anything. In that moment, it was this spirit of fear that would come over me. And it wasn't, the problem was, is I could rebuke it. I could do all these things and it still sat there. And what I needed to begin to say, now listen to these are the words, and it's not very, you might not find it very spiritual, but what had to happen in those moments is I had to speak to myself and tell myself I was going to be okay. In that moment, before it got out of control, I had to say, "Rod, you're okay. Rod, God is with you. Rod, you're okay." And in those moments, you begin to diffuse the situation before it escalates and gets out of control. And in this moment, when I think of the story that's there with Peter, he's out there and he's jumped out of the boat. And he's even walking on the water. Just think for a second. Can you imagine? Okay, when I was a kid, I went to a pool. And I don't know if they basically, we just had Sunday school and we learned this story. But this story was in my head, so I decided I wanted to try it. Come on. Right? We could be like Jesus. So I got out there and it was in the shallow end. It wasn't in the deep end. So my faith wasn't really large at the moment, but I got out there and I just went like this and right down in there. And obviously it was sort of comical, sort of funny in that moment, but you think about it. He's actually walking on the water. Where are the rest of the disciples? They're still stuck in the boat. We look at Peter and go, Peter's the only one that got out. He got out, he gets on the boat, that gets in the water, and he starts walking. And here's the point to this. That in the moment when the storm begins to rage, and if the waves could talk to you, which it feels like they do in my life at times, I don't know about you, but they begin to assault you. They begin to speak over you things. And for that situation, the fear begins to rise up into Peter. And before you know it, he begins to sink. And here's what we have to remember when we're sinking. Because if you haven't yet had an experience of sinking yet, stick around for a little while longer. Because these things do happen. Sometimes we jump out in faith and then we start to sink. So let me ask you, what did Jesus do in that moment? Did he turn around and go, even though he talked to them afterwards of you of little faith, which means you of undeveloped faith, or saying, boy, we need to develop your faith more. But in that moment, he didn't say, well, so much for Peter. There he is down there. He didn't sit there and say, Peter, you got yourself into this. You're going to get yourself out of this. He didn't sit there and say, Peter, if you just kept your eyes on me. What did he do? In the moment of Peter's failure, he reaches out his hand and he grabs him up. And what I think is so cool, he doesn't whip him over his shoulder to not give him another chance and walk him back to the boat. The two of them walk together back to the boat. It's like he's like, come on, let me show you again. Even though this didn't work so well this time, let me show you again. Let's walk again. And I feel like the season that we're in right now is one of those seasons where we've got to be willing again, because maybe we got out of the boat and didn't go so well. You know what I'm talking about? Maybe we got out of the boat and we tried something and didn't go so well. We're not really sure about it. We don't understand it. But in this season right now, it's that sense of beginning to say, Lord, I'm going to keep my eyes focused on you, and I'm going to get out of the boat again. Whether it's something where we talk to somebody, we talk to a neighbor, we talk to a friend, we share the gospel, whether we're going to invite somebody for the December 22nd Christmas party or whatever it might be, and we do it. And I mean, I don't know if you've ever had somebody laugh at you when you try to share the gospel with them. That's a very, very crazy thing to begin to happen. Someone sit there and just look at you and go, get, and they have a few exploitative deletes, whatever you want to call it, whatever the word is, and they say a few things that are not nice, and off they go. But then that one moment, after you've tried it for so many times, where that moment where you get somebody and they want to listen to you. I can tell you this right now, that the Lord has been reminding me, and I don't fully understand why. Am I allowed to speak like this here? He's been reminding me, and it's a bit embarrassing, but he says to me, Rodney, this is what he says to me, Rodney, you're not a failure. Let's get out of the boat. And I can't tell you that I think I'm a failure or that every day that happens. But boy, the winds and the waves like to scream it and yell it, don't they? They like to tell you these things over and over and over again. But in the season right now, there is this sense of jumping out. When we look at Zacharias in the story, in the Christmas story, and we see him, he's the priest that goes in to the temple, and he was... It was his assigned time to go in. And if you know the story, what happens is he goes inside and he's doing his priestly duty. He's doing what he would be doing. He'd done what had been done for years and years and years and years. And all of a sudden in the midst of, see, this is this chronos. Chronos is a word which means chronological time. I used to sit there and when I would teach this, I would say to you, now look at your watch. Most of us have to pull out a phone now to look at it. But we see time. That word chronos means chronological time. It means an order, or it means something where it's a plowing or a continually going or something that is done over and over and over again. Then in this season right now, I feel like for many of us that we have been, just hear my heart out in this, that like Zacharias, who is the husband for Elizabeth, right? Who's Elizabeth's baby then is John the Baptist. You follow me now, right? In the stories. And we're talking about Mary when she finds out from the angel that she's going to have a baby. She goes and stays with Elizabeth, remember? And when Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, the babe in her womb leaps, and John the Baptist is filled with the Holy Spirit before he is even born. That's crazy. That's awesome. But that is that sense of him living out something that's not, it doesn't seem possible in this moment, but it's a something that they're saying in this season that things are about to change. Things are drastically about to change. But Zacharias, okay, remember who that is now, right? Zacharias, Elizabeth, they're both from priestly lines. And Zacharias goes in, does his duty, and he's there. And he's doing whatever it is that he's supposed to do with the incense and everything. And all of a sudden, I can't imagine, he looks over and poof, there's an angel. And this angel, Gabriel, begins to tell him about all that's about to happen, and best to tell him that he's about to have basically a son, and you're going to call him John, and goes through all this stuff. And Zacharias's words, they seem to be the same as Mary's words of when Mary was told she's going to be pregnant, and she says, how can this be? I've never been with a man. Zacharias to me sounds like he's saying the same thing when he says, how can this be? Because he's talking about how old him and Elizabeth are. That it's an impossibility. But in the two things, when I begin to read it, I'm like, Holy Spirit, what's the difference in there? Because Mary is, her words are not seen as a lack of faith where Zacharias's is. And in that moment, I feel like the Holy Spirit saying to me that for Zacharias, that he was caught in the chronos. He was caught in the chronological. He was caught in just the doing, 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 doing. And his expectation had become numb. So he couldn't even really, in essence, believe anymore. He was doing what he did. He was going to church every week. He was showing up for prayer meeting. He was doing whatever he was teaching in Sunday school. He was cleaning the carpets. But that chronos, that plowing time, that waiting time, that investing time, that difficult time, that just go and go and go and go. And for some, there's years, and some there's 20 years, some 30 years, some 40 years waiting for this specific miracle to begin to happen. And then all of a sudden, see, this angel is the kairos moment. Kairos in the Greek means the fact of the opportune time, or it means another way phrase is used is the God kind of time, the time when everything begins to shift and everything begins to change. And so for him, the angel steps in and things are about to change. Now, what I find so encouraging in this story is for Zacharias is even though there was a, do you remember what the punishment, shall we say, or the penalty or whatever it would be for his statement was? He was mute. Remember, he could not talk. And so when he came out, even they were all wondering what in the world's going on, because he went in and he could talk. He came out and he couldn't. But let me ask you a question. Did Gabriel say, or did God sit there and say, because you didn't fully believe, ain't going to happen to you anymore? Is that the way it went? Did his lack of belief in the moment stop God from doing what he was going to do? Was God's faithfulness stopped because of his lack of faith? Now listen, it doesn't mean that we can go live in lack of faith all the time. We have to develop our faith. But in those moments, it still happened that Elizabeth became pregnant with child at her age and brought forth the baby John. And Elizabeth, you see, in those days, you realize the Holy Spirit hasn't even been poured out. So Zacharias, it says that the Holy Spirit came upon him. And it's kind of like it is in the Old Testament, where he came upon all these different people in the Old Testament. But what does it say about Elizabeth? It says she was filled with the Holy Spirit, out of season, out of time. Something that wasn't even supposed to happen yet happened, and she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and the babe in her womb is filled with the Holy Spirit. And then she begins to prophesy, and in this kairos moment, when God breaks in a kairos moment, all the rules don't matter. Come on now. All the rules don't matter. Everything that should be, everything that you wonder about, because I tell you, if you've ever been through, see, I've had people come to me and say, and this is what they do when they've heard me talk about sometimes about fear, Pastor Rod, you know, and then I'll get a information of how I can get over it. The truth is this, until you've gone through something like that other person's gone through, can you not give them advice? Sorry if that sounds a little bit drastic. And I don't mean that as pastors, leaders, and those that are in our lives, friends, we can't talk. But you don't know until you know. So we have to stop judging each other when someone's going through something, because they're judging themselves enough. Come on now, right? That in that middle of that, when fears come on them and they feel like they've given in and they feel like they've done something wrong, and all they can hear now is, I'm done and it's over with. It's all messed up. I didn't believe in those moments, and I'm struggling, and it's all messed up. But Zacharias is proof that God still works. And when he steps in, when everything begins to change, the kairos moment changes everything. And it doesn't care about what the past is, and it doesn't care about what you've done or said. In that moment when God steps in, everything begins to change. And we see it in his life, and we see it when we see that Peter jump out of the boat, and in that moment, and when we see when the Holy Spirit comes upon Peter, everything begins to change. Pastor Gary spoke so beautifully last week about the Holy Spirit, and I'm telling you, if you came up for prayer and for the filling of the Holy Spirit, and it didn't, you feel like, well, you know what, I just don't feel like anything happened, and I know, because I've been a pastor for a long time, and I've helped a lot of people walk through looking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And what happens is they don't mean to, but they begin to get down on themselves. They begin to compare themselves to others. They begin to say, well, you know what? It's maybe not just not for me. Or I don't know why. I tried. And you might have heard this story, but there was a man that I was in when we were in a small little church. We went to that church. There was 12 people in the church. And so if my family didn't show up, there was even less. So, you know, if something happened, this is a small, small church. And this man, his name was Esco, okay? Esco was awesome. I loved Esco. Esco would come up to me and he was a, he had like a, he wasn't Russian, but he was the, had that kind of a dialect to him. And I can't remember exactly what his nationality was again, but Esco would come up to me and say, Pastor, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wanted me to pray. And every single Sunday, he would come through and he would come up and I would be asking for altar calls for something that had nothing to do with it. He didn't come up for that altar call. He came up for, Pastor, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And he was hungry week after week after week after week. And one day I saw in his eyes, I saw the glimmer of hope that the Kronos was putting out. The Kronos, remember the chronological time, the just one after another, the plowing, the trying. And that energy was slipping away and the sense of he was then, I could see becoming almost embarrassed that are wanting to just go on. And then the enemy starts to lie and say that you're less than and all of these things that are absolutely ridiculous. But yet they happen. The enemy starts to whisper. And one day, I remember Esco coming up and I was preaching. I happened to be preaching then about the Holy Spirit and how much I from a young age, that I talked about my experiences with the Holy Spirit, that when I was very young, that I was six, seven years old in there and that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet that whole time when I began to speak in tongues, it was so strange, and my mind began to sit there and try to go, this makes no sense. You sound like you're speaking like gibberish, like your little baby brother. Come on now, right? And in this moment, and I began to go, began to doubt it and wasn't wondering about it, but I'm telling you, as a little boy, something inside of me began to stir. And later on, when I was 12 years old, just such a powerful infilling of the Holy Spirit in my life that I began to not worry about whether it was tongues, but I worried about being transformed by him. Worry's the wrong word. But I began to look for him to transform me. I began to look to ask the Holy Spirit every day. I didn't focus on anymore. What began to happen? All of a sudden, my prayer language went from one word, two words that sounded like I didn't understand, to all of a sudden inside of me, I began like I was speaking in different languages, and the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon me, and things I had no way of knowing, I would begin to know. I would see people walking into a room and I'd instantly be able to know something. And it wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of how good I was. It wasn't because of anything, but it was because of the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And here's the lie. That's you, Pastor Rod. That's not me, right? That's for the pastors. That's for this. You had a call. We all have a call in our lives. I don't want you to get caught up in whether or not I spoke in tongues or whether this. I want you to sit there and say, Holy Spirit, I invite you to fill me. Whatever way you want to do it, however you want to do it, Holy Spirit, fill me. And for Esco, he came up and I was preaching and again, you come up and to be honest with you, I was a bit nervous because he's coming up again and I had prayed and we're preaching on this. I felt the Holy Spirit preaching on this. I know I've prayed for Esco probably more than anybody I've ever prayed for in my life. And he comes up and he's like, okay, Pastor, Holy Spirit. And we prayed and he stood there and he looked at me and I can remember his eyes. And he already turned around. And I said, go home. Don't worry about it. Let God do it. And my little office, it was in a little garage that we had. That was one room, and they put two walls this way in a corner to give me a little office. And I went in there, and I'd have, this is how old I am for some of you, that we had an answering machine that was actually outside of your phone, and you came in and it was blinking, and I pushed the play button, and Pastor Shokobrasata Karadabatokoya, and he began to pray, and I'm just going on and on and on, and he came in, and you see, when he stopped trying and just said, Holy Spirit, I'm yours, do whatever you want with me, and that is the key in the midst of this thing, and as Pastor Gary was sharing last week about a hunger for the move of the Holy Spirit, that I look back again, and I see, remember that Peter guy that we talked about that got out of the boat? Remember the Peter guy that did so many other things that really we would look over and go, oh, Peter, you're so impetuous. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes on him? Everything begins to change. And this man who jumps out of a boat, who fails, who passes, all of these things. I love how the Chosen has depicted him in this, but a leader. But when the Holy Spirit comes on him, everything begins to change. And he's able to stand in front of thousands. And that doesn't mean, for example, that he didn't mess up anymore. I really wish that happened when the Holy Spirit came upon me. That's not the way it works. We still mess up. But in that moment, you see, there was this transition, that there's this kairos moment that we are looking for right now. And forgive me just a second here. I feel like this is a great sermon. So I feel like for us right now, we are such in a place that we've been stuck in the chronos. We've been stuck in that plowing time, that we've been stuck in that painful time, that we've been stuck on the fact that we speak to that mountain and it's not moving. Come on now, are you with me? It's this sense of that we've seen this over and over and over again. And I'm in the midst of this going, Lord, I don't understand. And I've had to sit there and go, okay, it's okay that I don't understand. Because if I keep looking for explanations of why something didn't work or what didn't happen, I will never be able to see the angel come and believe what he's saying, like Zacharias. I will be stuck in the chronos. I will be stuck in the time of figuring it out. I will be stuck, for some of you, the fact that you've been believing for new jobs. You've been believing for change. You've been believing, some of you even have a very specific word for God, from God for your family. And all these garbage begins to happen. And what do? We go, if you're like me, you go into survival mode. Come on now, right? When all these things start happening in my family in the last 2.5 years, you go into survival mode, you go into protection mode, you go into these things, and the faith for expectation again, or for that promise, begins to fade away because you're just simply trying to keep the ground still. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about? But in this moment right now, that ground shaking, that sea all around us, that like Peter, when everything is just not, like think about it, for the disciples, Jesus told them to go out there. Come on now, if I'm out there, I'm going, what are you doing? I'm out here in the middle of this and we're gonna die. Just like the other time, remember, just they do the same thing over and over again. I love the disciples because they don't learn very well. And I'm grateful because sometimes I feel like I'm like that too. Okay, but you see the disciples, the one story where Jesus is at the bottom of the boat and they're freaking out and they're going, don't you care that we're gonna die? And us outside of it's reading, but Jesus is in the boat. I don't think it's going to sink. I think it might be okay. But in that moment, see, here's the thing from that story. Even though Jesus is with us, sometimes we still get overwhelmed by the sea. Right? We all have Jesus. If we've asked him into our heart and life, and if you haven't yet this morning, you can do this by just asking him to forgive you for your sin and welcoming him into your life. And then you go on a journey together. But you notice the disciples had Jesus in their boat, and yet the storm was still there. We think that because Jesus is in my boat, there shouldn't be any storm. The truth is, the storm is life. A lot of it makes no sense, right? Come on, in the middle of it, it makes no sense. But the God inside of me, see, this is where it is, that for me right now, Lord, I'm expecting kairos in the midst of all this chronos. I'm expecting Holy Spirit chronos. The Holy Spirit to step in and begin to change everything. When I think of those shepherds, and what time is it now? When I think of those shepherds, I love this part of the story, and I'll end with this. It's one of the pieces in there. It was good. So the idea with it is this. The shepherds, the Bible says to us in Luke chapter 2, and it talks about the shepherds, and he says that they were out there in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. And they talk about these shepherds, and the angels come. And these shepherds have been out doing what they were supposed to do. They're serving. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're doing their job. They're going along. It's a Chronos experience. And all of a sudden, poof, an angel right there. And the angel then begins to speak to them. And we know the rest of the story. And the whole sky fills up with angels. And what did the angels say to them? They said that today, in the town of David, in Bethlehem, there is born the Messiah. The one that you've been waiting for has been born. And in this moment right now, when you think about it, all of a sudden, these shepherds, like, why do you go to shepherds? Shepherds, stinky shepherds. If you're going to announce the birth of the king, that everything is about to change, the Kairos has come now. See, Jesus is the Kairos, right? Jesus is the Kairos. When he steps into a situation, it begins to change. And here in this situation, we see that he's stepping into time now, and we're about to see the change come. And they're told, but this is what they said. This is the sign that you will know. You will know when you get there, that you will find a babe wrapped in what? Swaddling clothes or strips of cloth. And you're like, why in the world is he telling these shepherds? Just tell them, if you go down the street over there, turn right, turn left, you'll find a manger. There's Jesus. Wow, it's amazing. But no, he says, this will be a sign to you. What was the sign? See, I believe, and many theologians believe, that these shepherds weren't just regular shepherds with regular flocks. That these shepherds are actually priestly shepherds, and they are from the line of the priesthood, and these sheep that they are taking care of are actually the atonement sheep, because there was a rule in tradition in Jewish circles that you could not tend sheep within the city limits. It had to be out into the wilderness, into the town limits, and what they had to be out in the wilderness. But the scripture clearly says that from Bethlehem in nearby, not talking about being out in the wilderness now, that these sheep were there with these shepherds. And it's believed that these sheep are the atonement sheep. And what they had to do, what that meant was they had to watch over these sheep because they had to be spotless. No imperfections. They couldn't have any damages. They couldn't hit their foot on a rock and tear their skin, or they were done. They were out. You know, it's like they were no longer allowed then to be an atonement lamb. And in this moment, these shepherds that are out there, one of the things that they would do is they would wrap the sheep, these little baby sheep, they would wrap them up in swaddling clothes, in these strips of cloth, to protect them in this moment. And so when those shepherds knew, and when they saw him, when he says, you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes or strips of cloth, it is immediately springs into their mind what this is, because they've been taking care of the atoning lambs. They have been taking care of the sacrificial lambs, and now they're about to go see the Lamb of God, who will take away the sin. See, they've been taking care of the shepherd. The shepherds have been taking care of the sheep that would take care of the sins of the nation of Israel. But now they're about to go see the Lamb of God, who will take away the sins of the world. And when they walk in and they see this baby there, and he's wrapped in swaddling clothes, and there's this recognition immediately, I can see it into their heads and in their eyes. This is the one. This is the Messiah. This is the one they all waited for. What does it say? They couldn't wait. They took off, and they were telling everybody that they met that this is the Messiah, that he has come in this moment. And you see, when I think about this Kairos moment that comes in for those shepherds in that moment, and everything begins to change, that Jesus is Kairos. And for us right now, I'm saying, Lord, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit, because I say to him, Lord, the truth is I've allowed fear, I've allowed frustration, I've allowed discouragement, despair, figure out a D word that you want to put in there to get me stuck so badly in the Chronos, trying to keep my head above water. Remember what we said, there's no guilt, no shame. Jesus didn't say to Peter, you should have known better, and let him drown. Reaches down, grabs his hand, and pulls him up. That in this moment right now, it's like, Lord, I need to once again believe for expectation. But I need you, Holy Spirit, because I don't have it on my own.
Come on now, are you with me? I can't whip it up. I can't stir it up. I can't make it up. Holy Spirit, I need you to pour into me fresh expectation for Kairos to come in. And for it to be so dramatic that we begin to see like the shepherds saw, like Zacharias, like Elizabeth, with John, like so many, where it felt like their time had been done, or they were caught like the shepherds, maybe just doing what they were supposed to do and forgot. But then the Kairos comes in and everything changes. Stand with me this morning. Pastor Gary, when she spoke last week, was sharing again. She doesn't share about the Holy Spirit because that's all she has to say. She could teach for hours and hours and hours for all that the Lord has showed her. But she teaches there because she knows that we need him. And in this hour, we need the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So can I encourage you, if you're searching, to not get caught up with, it has to come this way. It has to happen this way. To just simply say, Holy Spirit, with me even right now, raising our hands together and saying, Holy Spirit, come and fill me now. I need you. Holy Spirit, come and fill me now. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you afresh. We need you anew. Come, Holy Spirit, with your strength and your power. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour out. Pour out upon us. Pour out upon us. And we declare right now that we are receiving you, Holy Spirit, and that there's nothing in the way. We will not listen to the lies of the enemy that says we're not deserving, that we've messed up, or that we're just not like everybody else. We're going to put all those things to the side, and we're saying, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Come and fill me. Transform me, change me. So here is my response. Holy Spirit, fill me with your ability that I might be transformed, and then we might see the world around us to begin to be transformed. For Lord, with you, the reason for the season is so that, Lord, that you could take your family home to be with you in heaven, yes. But more than that is so that you could bring heaven down to earth. And that there would be such a transformation upon this earth when that the body of Christ was so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit that everything around us began to shake and change. And that we began to see shifting, and we recognize, Holy Spirit, that it's not us, that we can't do this on our own. But we say, Holy Spirit, come work through us. Come work through us. Manifest your power through us, that our neighbors, that our friends, that our family might know you, Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom, Lord, even as we approach this Christmas season and as we get together with family and we get together with friends or we're talking to coworkers, that, Lord, we don't believe that I don't have something I have to make somebody receive. I have someone inside of me that invites those around me to receive. And so, Lord, we believe that you will give us the right words. And that, Lord, you will cause us to be quiet when we're supposed to be quiet. And that you will cause us to share when we're supposed to share. You will cause us to speak in ways that bring life and love and hope. And you will cause us, Lord, to have our actions to speak louder than words. That our integrity, that our character that is built and based upon you being inside of us, Holy Spirit, moving in us. That they see us and they see something different within us. And they cry out to us asking, what do I have to do to have what you have? And so, Lord, for all of us that have struggled with fear in the last season, and then maybe even presently, Lord, we love these kind of messages, but Lord, we go home and we struggle with fear. That I thank you for your Kairos breaking into our lives right now. I don't say next week, not tomorrow, right now. To begin a brand new journey of trust with you, Lord. A brand new journey, Lord, of being able to believe again for the wonderful things that you have in store. That you have life
You weren't kidding when you said this. And life more abundantly than we could ever imagine. We thank you, Jesus. Can we just begin to thank him now? We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And so I declare right now in the name of Jesus for you to have encounters at home all week long with the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would begin to just find peace this week like you've never had in a long, long time. I pray the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom that when you have to make a job decision in the next couple of days, someone here has got to make a decision on something along those lines, and the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom. You will know what to do in that moment. I pray that as you go and you do your job, and right now I feel like there's somebody here as well that maybe has been, you call it persecution, but I don't see it that, the Lord's saying it that way, but that you've been picked on at work, you've been doing these things and whatnot, and you're like, Lord, why am I still here? That I pray the power of God upon you right now to be able to do your job in such a way of excellence that they will look at you stunned and in awe of what God can do through you. And that we break every lie that has been spoken over you right now, that you are a child of God and that you can do these things and more besides and see the power of God working in your life and through your life. Lord, I pray that the one that has been struggling with sickness right now, that has just been happening, and they don't seem to be able to shake it, Lord, and I include myself in the middle of that. But Lord, that we would begin to now see a home stretch. This is done. That we declare it in the name of Jesus that this is done now and that, Lord, that you have a better way and a better plan. We thank you, Lord. We rejoice. I cried for a while, but I rejoiced in the fact of what Erica had shared, Lord, that we rejoice in what you've done, God. We rejoice in what you've done, Lord. We don't understand all the rest. We don't understand so many things, but Lord, we declare that we want to see more of this and more people's lives being changed for your glory and for your honor. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.